take my life and let it be all thine own, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Well, it seems like that goes along with this morning's message and last week's and Sunday afternoon's message, along with the last song, peace. Peace. Yeah, talked this morning about peace, and we have peace with God, and we're peacemakers. We're to be promoting peace and counseling people in the way of peace. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. And we're going to be thinking a little more along those lines of peace this afternoon. As we read in verses 1 through 3 and are closing up our thoughts in that section with verse 3. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. What's that word endeavoring mean? It means make haste to put forth some exertion, some labor, working hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We said last week as we were ending up our thoughts last week, we said the bond of peace. The bond that keeps unity is peace. Or we might say that's the end result of unity. And it's bonded together in peace to Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, last week we said in verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 said we ought to be following after the things which make for peace. And in keeping with the thoughts of this morning concerning the peacemakers, the peacekeepers, the counselors of peace, because we're at peace with God, we ought to be working hard to promote a spirit of peace and unity in the Lord's church. Basically, we closed out the thoughts last week with this statement and thought. Every member. You see, it's not just my responsibility. It's not just Brother Ron's responsibility, but it's every member's responsibility to be striving, to be working hard to keep the peace in Grace Baptist Church. We may not need those thoughts now. Praise God. We've been a church that has been in unity and at peace. But as we've said before, Satan's not happy with that. And just as in the days of Job, he went before the Lord and trying to get the Lord to remove his shield, you don't need to think he's not trying and seeking to do that to us. Amen. And all it takes is for one of us to let down the guard, to stop that working hard, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, when there's unity, there's peace. There's real, and there ought to be real peace. The two go contrary to one another. I mean, disunity, there's not peace. They go hand in hand. You see, where there's unity, there's peace. Where there's peace, there's unity. You can't have it otherwise. Now, consider these thoughts, and we have five of them today, and closing out the thoughts concerning the bond of peace. If you do not have peace with God, think about the implications of that. If you do not have peace with God, you'll not have peace with children of God. You'll not have peace with believers. You know, we've all known people that we've said about them, well, their middle name is Trouble. Just seems like wherever they go, there's discontentment and disaccord. Well, it just may be that they don't have peace with God. It just may be they're not a real Christian. If they are a real Christian, they're certainly not living Christian life. Christ-like. The verse that we alluded to and quoted this morning in the book of Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, and let your eyes rest upon these words, therefore, and do I need to tell you why for therefore is there? It's because of something that was said previously. And to see what was said previously, you got to go back into the fourth chapter, the beginning part of chapter 4, and actually, you could go back into chapter 3, because the righteousness of God has come to us, and we have believed, and therefore, our believing has been imputed unto us for righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, our sins forgiven. How are they forgiven? By faith in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Well, the other side of the coin is, and the side we're talking about, if you don't have peace with God, then you're not going to be at peace with God's people. who have peace with God and are seeking and striving and laboring to live pleasing to God. They're manifesting the characteristics that we went over last week and this morning. And the flesh doesn't like that. And they're still in their flesh. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 85. Blessed passage of Scripture that the Lord opened my eyes to, many years ago now. But Psalms 80, 85, and look at verses 8 through 10. Verse 8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. You see, He not only gives peace to His people, to His saints, but then He continues to speak peace to... He speaks to us through His Word, which gives us greater comfort, greater peace. You see, continuing peace in this life. You see. But then He says something interesting. But let them, who? Those that are the Lord's, His people, His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Let us that are saved not turn again to foolishness, to being like a fool. And in this case, in keeping with the context, He's talking about the things which don't lend for peace. You see, that troublemaker, that one whose middle name is trouble, if he is the Lord's, if he is His saint, he's turned again to folly. He's turned again back to those foolish things, the things which do not lend for peace and keep in the keeping of peace. He's not a counselor of peace. He's not a peace, being a peacemaker at that time. Continuing to read verse 9, surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. See, here He gives us the example of in a prophetic statement of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 is a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Well, how did mercy and truth meet? How did righteousness and peace come together? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The New Testament, the book of John, puts it like this. In verse 14 it says, and the Word, which was with God, which was God, which created all things, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, that's none other than Jesus Christ. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth, and down to verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received, we that are saved, we that have repented towards God of our sins and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Christ. It's a prophetic fulfillment of the prophetic statement that we read in Psalms 85, verse 10. Concerning mercy and truth have met together, righteousness of peace have kissed each other. You say, well, that says grace and truth. Well, what is mercy? Is mercy not the grace of God? Yes, it is. Do you deserve mercy? No, I don't deserve mercy. So it's the grace of God, is it not? Grace and truth in Jesus Christ have come together by Him. If you cannot get along with God, you surely won't get along with God's people. That's just the way it is. You might be able to do it for a time and for a season, but eventually you're going to get full of this and you're going to say, this is nonsense. This is ridiculous. You're just full of baloney. Right? And you're going to get riled up, and that true brother in Christ, or true Christian, you're going to say, what did I do? What did I say? Well, just maybe, if you find it hard getting along with God's people, just maybe. I'm not saying it's the case, and it is. You can't use it as hard, fast, that rule, but if there's a consistent not being able to get along with God's people, then we need to, as Scripture said, make our calling and election sure. If we find that pattern of life being so in our life, well, it just may be we need a good dose of salvation. May need to come face to face with our sin as God sees it and repent of our sins toward God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to another passage of Scripture that we at least referenced this morning and quoted to you, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and if you look, begin reading with verse 14. For He is our peace. Jesus Christ is. He's our peace. He brought peace. Who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, to put it as the little children's song, which is based on Scripture, red and yellow, black and white. Has made us one. If He's our peace, He's made us one. Different personalities, different likes and dislikes. But He's brought us together as one. in Christ Jesus, placed us in His body. And being one, we're at peace with God. And being at peace with God, we can be at peace with one another because we're all God's. Right? You following it? And have broken down the middle wall partition between us. He's broken those things down. We're not to allow them to stand in our way of unity and peace. As I look out over this assembly and evaluate it, my wife would probably amen it if she were allowed to. I am probably the most difficult person here to get along with. But God's broken that wall down. And you know what? In all my... What I like is things to be perfect. And just so. And I can't see the sense in this or this or this. That's not to be a matter here. In dealing with God's people. And dealing with those out. I've even had to learn to put those things aside. Living with a wife of 47 and a half years. As she's had to learn to put my peculiarities aside. You see. That's the way it works, folks. He's broken down. Man. What with His body? His one body on the tree. He brought peace to us. Made us as one. Placed us in His body. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man. So making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see, there's peace in Christ. Because I have peace, the peace that Jesus brought with God, reconciling me to God, I can let the things of the flesh, which that is the peculiar, things that are peculiar to me, the things that are peculiar to you, they're just things of the flesh. They're, we would say, differences of personality. We can let them be aside because we ought to be unified in Christ. You see, we're one in Christ. He's broken down that middle wall. We have peace because of Christ. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 16. Look at... Let's begin reading with verse 29. His disciples said unto Him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Are you letting those words sink in? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Where? In Christ. He's our peace. We're in Him. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Where? In the world. Out there. Those who aren't saved, they aren't going to get along with us. They aren't going to like us. Not because we're trying to stir the pot and be a troublemaker, but because we're trying to live godly in Christ Jesus. But in here, we shouldn't have tribulation. We shouldn't have trouble with one another. We shouldn't get at odds with one another. We shouldn't get peeved with one another. Out there, we're going to have tribulation. And it's not from us, it's from them. You see. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So yes, sometimes unsaved folks do get on our church rolls. Sometimes they deceive us pretty good. God knows. But when they get on our church rolls and then they seem to be troublemakers, they can't get along with this person. And then they can't get along with that person. And then they can't get along with that person. Well, maybe they're just trying to tell us something. You see. We're told to follow after peace. Follow after peace. Psalms 34, and yes, this back in the Old Testament. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, in chapter 34. And this has been an interesting verse to me. He said, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There's three words I want you to take note of. The first one, well, we know it all right enough. Depart. We know what depart means. It means turn away from. Turn away from evil. Don't stay there. But the next one is seek. And the next one is pursue. Now pursue, we probably know pretty well that one. We may think we know seek. But this word seek here gives more in the Hebrew meaning than just the idea of looking for something. You know, there's looking for something, and then there's looking for something in order to find. How many of you know the difference? Oh, I do. I was an only boy in the household, and so generally I wanted to play baseball. I had to go out and throw the ball up in the air myself, and I had to throw it up and hit it with the bat and out into the field, and it was a hay field, and then I'd have to go out there and I'd have to find my ball. And so I'd always try to pay attention to where it landed. But sometimes I'd get out there and, you know, it may have rolled away or bounced a couple times. I didn't see it or whatever, you know. So I'm out there and I'm looking. I would spend hours out there looking for that one baseball. Because while baseballs then weren't very expensive, they were expensive to us, didn't have much money, and so, you know, and I would look, and if I didn't find it, I'd be back out there the next day, not looking. I was looking in order to find. It was important to me. That's the idea of this Hebrew word. It means there's a desire there to find it. And it's a desire that goes to, I'm required to find it. That's what it means. We're to have the desire to find peace. We're required to find peace. To promote peace. To follow after peace. Promote the things that make for peace. And of course, pursue, we would understand that to be run after. We're to run after it. So there's to be an eagerness, a desire requiring us to find peace. Follow after peace. And so another verse that we referenced this morning in the book of Romans in chapter 14. And verse 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things whereby one may edify another. You see, my getting at odds with you and you getting peeved with me, what does that do for edifying? Doesn't do a thing for edifying, does it? We're to follow after. And that word follow after is also interesting. It means to run swiftly in order to obtain. Oh, we're to be, it goes back to endeavoring, doesn't it? You see, there's not only to be a working hard, but there's to be a making haste, a running after the things, especially in the Lord's body, His church, and the Grace Baptist Church. Let us let down our guard. Closing thought, the last one, there is no peace without love. There is no peace without love. Verse 2 of our text. With all lowliness, humility, meekness, quiet, gentle spirit, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. There's no peace. There'll be no unity. There'll be no peace. No peace, no unity. No unity, no peace. There'll be no unity and no peace without love. Without agape. It's gotta be present. It's gotta be prevalent. You see, the unity and the peace come as a result of the manifestation of love. And what is the manifestation of love? Deferring. Submitting. Oh, here we go back to our Sunday school lesson this morning. Being a servant. Abram said what? To Lot. Abram. Now consider this. Abram being the elder and being the patriarch and being the rightful one to take the better land. But he deferred to Lot. Because Lot, it's not good that we as brethren be fighting because the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell in the land. The land is full of the world. And we're to be a testimony to the world. So we be brethren. We ought not to be fighting. And so he said, you and your servants, your herdsmen, you choose where you go. And we'll go the other way. So that there's not a rift. So that there's not this fighting, bickering going on. He deferred. He served. Well, in doing that, he was picturing what? He's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, the elder. The one rightful to be served. But he came as a servant, a lowly servant, to serve. And you and I are to be serving one another. We're to be deferring to one another. And so turn to Colossians chapter 3 in verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. There you go, charity. I told you I'd be talking about you this afternoon. Sweet charity. Put on love. Agape. Which is the bond. That word bond there is, it is the glue, it is the cement of perfectness. In other words, love is the cement between the saints so that we are perfectly joined together in unity and in peace. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us, please?
resources